Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this message with you entitled, Not My Will, But Yours, a challenge that every Christian who's hungry for more of God is going to face is the challenge of recognizing God's will for their life and realizing His will and their will might not be the same. Jesus Himself faced this at the Mount of Olives when His prayer to the Father was, Not my will, but your will be done. God's will is the path that will set us apart from the rest of the world. This is the narrow path. I hope that you enjoy this message. I'd like to begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we count it a privilege to be able to minister your word. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word that you've given to us and the ministry of your Holy Spirit, who's been sent to teach us, to unfold your word to us and the understanding of it. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for your ministry to us. Lord Jesus, this evening as we study the word of God and we study your walk on this earth and the experiences that you had, I pray that the understanding of it will just be opened up to us. And I thank you for it, Father. We come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. We arrest you now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for clarity in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been discussing in the last few messages what it means to be a success in the kingdom of God. And we've looked at the differences between success, measuring success in this world versus measuring success in the kingdom of God. And we've noticed that there's quite a bit of difference. Yeah, this world looks at the things that they say is important. Prestige, money. Do you have a lot of money? Well, then you're a success. Do you live in a big, nice, beautiful house? Well, then you're a success. Do you have all of the admiration of your peer group? Do you have the great job? Do you have the job everybody wants? Do you have that picturesque family that everybody wants? Then you're a success in the world's eyes. The problem is that that's not the way that God looks at us, and that's not how God accounts for success in His kingdom. It's not measured by our accomplishments in this world, the things that we do that our peers look at and are and admire us for. That's not what counts. And I know it's difficult to realize that, because I wrote a message here recently in my monthly teaching letter about how from just a child up, we are comparing ourselves against ourselves. And you know, I brought out the verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 where Paul says it's not wise to do that, and yet that's what we're taught. It's almost ingrained in us to compare ourselves amongst ourselves, to see what someone else is doing and account that as success, and then want to be successful like them, so we want to mimic what they're doing. The problem with that is maybe that's not what God desires for your life to be. Maybe He doesn't want your life to look like so-and-so's life. You say, well, it has all of the things that I consider to be successful, so I want to be like that. And if that's not what God wants for us, then to do that would not be a success. It would not be pleasing to the Father. And that's what we want our life to be. We want it to be pleasing to the Father, not what we believe should be pleasing to him. It's like we have an idea that doing this or doing that would be pleasing to the Lord, so we'll go do it, and we'll ask him to accept that from us as our gift to him. And all he wants is our obedience. If we'll just simply do what he's asked us to do, then that's successful. That's success in the kingdom, because we've laid down our personal desires, what we've wanted to do, and we've picked up what the master wants us to do, and we do that. And you know what I've found is that it doesn't necessarily always look like what we think it should look like, and that's okay. And that's the part that in my own experience that I've had to come to grips with, that it, whether or not it looks like what we think it should look like, doesn't matter. And it's okay if it doesn't, as long as we know that we're doing what the Father wants us to do, that we have laid down our will and picked up his will for us. See, that's what Jesus taught us to pray when you look at the Lord's Prayer. I mean, we all know what the Lord's Prayer is. We only have to look it up. We can recite it. Our Father, which art in heaven, how will it be thy name? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. See, that's what Jesus, our pattern of success, taught us to pray. That's how he taught us to pray. Not my will be done, but your will be done in my life. And not, it doesn't have to be what I think it should be. It simply has to be what he wants for me, and to the best of my ability to determine that. You know, that's a whole nother message there about how we follow his will, how we determine what his will is for us, and then follow his will out. I was just talking with a friend of mine before we went on the air this evening, and we're talking about the fact that we don't necessarily know the beginning from, the end at the beginning. We don't know what it's going to look like down the road, and God doesn't he doesn't tell us, because there's no faith in having to know what the end is at the beginning. There's no faith in that. In other words, when we say, God, show me what it is that you want me to do, and then I'll go do it, there's no faith there. See, with God, God wants you to come his way as he leads you one step at a time, and as you come his way, he shows you. Well, that doesn't agree with what my mind wants. My mind wants to have all the details in advance. That doesn't, he doesn't do that, because there's no faith in that. But that's a whole other message. What we want to focus on is our pattern. Jesus is our pattern for success. So as we watch how he lived his life here, what we see is that he lived according to the Father's will. That is so vitally important. And we see it specifically in these words in Luke. If you have your Bible, let's turn there, Luke chapter 22. I want to see the words that Jesus spoke here in Luke 22. And this is regarding the fact that this was regarding his going to the cross, and the fact that it wasn't something that his will was excited about doing. And I think you can understand why not, going to the cross, suffering the pain. Here he was, before coming to this world, he was the Word in heaven. In John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He always existed, always. And then was willing to come into this earth as a man, walk this world, walk this planet, Son of God, Son of Man, and end up his journey on this planet by hanging on a cross. I mean, look at his existence. You know, before he stepped onto this planet, he'd always existed. And then he is born in the manger. He has a flesh and blood body that will bleed, that will hurt, that would get hungry. He lived his life out on this earth, and then he hung on that cross. I think about that, and he had to be willing to do that. Just the fact that he would have gone to the cross, he had to be willing to do that. His will had to line up with the will of the Father. In order for his mission on this earth to be accounted a success, what had to happen? His will had to line up with the will of the Father. Look at these words, Luke 22. We'll begin reading in verse 39. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed. Now, isn't this something I think about? Think about this. You have the opportunity here to hear the words that Jesus would pray to his Father just before the cross. What an awesome opportunity we have to hear his words, to see what was going on the inside of Jesus. See, we didn't necessarily have this opportunity very much in his walk on this earth. But here we have the unique opportunity to get an inside look into Jesus. You know, now we're getting to see into what's going on inside of Jesus. Wow, think about that. That's just kind of hitting me right now. What an opportunity he's given us right here. To be able to see his thought pattern, to see what was happening on the inside of him at this very moment. Man, that's just amazing. So he kneeled down to pray, saying, verse 42, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. My goodness. What a prayer. I'm telling you what. If we ever truly appreciate what's happening right here in these words, what Jesus is saying, he's saying a whole lot right here. I mean, he's showing the surrendering of his own will to the will of the Father. He's showing where, you know, in his natural person, you clearly can see here, was not excited about going and hanging on a cross, and I think we can understand why not. Because it was going to hurt. Not just the pain, although the pain would have been just unfathomable. the pain. But the humiliation, you know, I'm at a loss for words when I think about what he was willing to do and the decision that he was willing to make, and the fact that he would surrender to the Father's will, that he would, that he wouldn't fight, that he wouldn't demand his own rights, that he would simply say, not my will, not what I want, you know, not what would be easiest for me. You see, in this prayer right here, this is what made his ministry the success that it was on this earth. You might say, well, Mark, his ministry, it was a success all the time. You know, the blind eyes were open, the deaf were healed, the lamed were made whole. Yes, they were. And that was wonderful. But if this moment had not happened, if this decision had not been made by Jesus to call out for the will of God in his life, to surrender to that will, if he would have not done this, the cross wouldn't have happened. And there's no way we could have looked at his ministry as a success. You see, the point that I want to bring your attention to is this. His success in this world was not because of all the people that he healed. It wasn't because of all the things that he did, the multiplication of the loaves and the fish, walking on the sea. Now, those things did not make him a success in this world. What made Jesus the success was that he followed the will of the Father. You see, the reason why I bring this out is because in those healings, Jesus wasn't looking for validation that he was the Son of God by doing those healings, by having those healings performed through him. He wasn't doing them to validate him as the Son of God. You know, that here, I want to build a ministry based on all of these miracles. See, that's what people would do today. Oh, sure they would. They would build a huge ministry based on what? On all the miracles. So then you back that up and you say, what's the real motivation here? Do you just want a big ministry? Or is it about the love of the people? Because see, that's what the motivation was with Jesus, was the love of the people. It wasn't to validate him, the Son of God. And that's why he did this. See, that's what religion would want you to believe. That he performed those miracles because he was the Son of God. And this was the proof of the fact that he was the Son of God. He was proving this to validate his ministry and to show the people. That's what religion would want to do, because then it would take all the responsibility away from us when it comes to fulfilling what Jesus said to us in John chapter 14, which is what, Mark? John chapter 14. If you'd like to turn there with me. Jesus speaking said these words. In verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. See, if we think that Jesus was simply doing these miracles because he's God and he was trying to show us he's God, and validate himself, then that it takes the responsibility of this verse away from us. We don't have to do this because we're not God. You see how that works? But that's, this verse tells us that the expectation in the mind of God is that we would do the exact same things that our pattern showed us and do it with the same motivation that our pattern had. Pattern being Jesus. The motivation was love. That's why he did what he did when he healed the sick. He did it for love. He didn't do it to impress anyone. He didn't do it to build a ministry. His only motivation was love. And again, going back to his prayer at the Mount of Olives, his prayer then shows us that there was a battle within him to continue to follow the will of the Father, because it meant suffering, it meant pain, it meant going through unspeakable misery, and he had to surrender in that area of his will that would oppose the will of the Father. Father, not my will, but your will be done. See, it really shows us right there in those words. It shows us what a man he really was, that he would make this statement, that he would show that there's a struggle on the inside of me. There's part of me not wanting to do this. I don't want to have to die. I don't want to have to suffer and hang on that cross. But if all of this that my Father has laid out is going to succeed, then I have to surrender my will. I have to be willing to accept his will for me and accomplish what his plan is for my life. And that's what Jesus did for us. Thank God. Can you say amen? Can you say praise God? Thank you, Jesus, for being willing. Thank you, Lord. And see, he's our pattern of success. I preached a message in line with this idea of a pattern. I have on my key ring. This is simply a key blank. This is a blank that you get, and then what do they do? They take another key, and they take that key, and this is the pattern that they use, and then they cut this blank, and they match identically. They match this key, the master. Don't you like that? The master key. They use it as a master for cutting out this blank. And when they're done, you know what it looks like? This blank looks like the master. Praise God. And see, that's what our pattern, Jesus, has done for us. He's shown us in his life on this earth. He's shown us what the pattern is that we are to follow. And as I've already stated, the pattern for the success is that we will surrender the desires that we have, our personal desires. And we all have those personal desires. You know, at one point, I wanted to be a successful businessman. You know, and I had all of the desires for being a success and having all of the things that the world says is successful. Have the big corner office, you know, have the staff of people working for me. You know, and that was what I was, that was the desire I had. I wanted to make a lot of money, you know, and that was my desire. But, you know, whenever I answered the call to follow Jesus, there was a part of me that had to say, okay, I'm going to give that up. And I'm going to follow His will, the will of my Father for me. I'm going to follow that. I want Your will to be done in my life. Not my will, not the desire that I have to be this businessman, but Your desire for me. And see, in my case, His desire for me was that I would preach the gospel. So in order for me to be a success in this world, in my life on this planet, I have to be a preacher. I have to share the gospel. I have to teach. And I want to do that. And this the same thing will be for you. When you surrender to His plan and His will for your life, what you'll find is that by doing what He wants you to do, the most fulfillment you'll ever experience in this life will be yours. It's hard to explain, but it's like if I had continued in that path of being the businessman, of wanting to have the career in business, maybe I would have been a great success according to the world's eyes. Maybe I would have. Maybe I'd have had the big house on the lake with a nice boat. But there would have been something missing. And that something is the fulfillment that you receive from knowing that you're doing what the Father desires for you to do. And when you stand before Jesus, your life is going to be judged based on whether or not you have followed His will for your life. Have you done that? Or did you do what you wanted to do? See, if I would have died never having ministered, never having followed Jesus into the ministry, and just done the work, been the businessman, when I stood in front of Jesus and and He would have told me, hey, Mark, this is what my plan for your life was. Not that other, not being that successful businessman, but my will for you was that you preach the gospel. That was my will for you. So why didn't you do it? And see, then it'll be too late. Now that's what I was faced with, answering the call to the ministry. But each and every one of us has a responsibility to lay down our own personal desires and to accept His desires, His will for our lives in whatever form that takes. It may not be that His desire is for you to be in the ministry, but there's still an area of your life that He wants to be in, that He wants to be in control over. Not that He controls us, but that His will is your will in whatever area that is in your life. And only you can discover what that is. And don't go looking for anybody to tell you what that is. Now, I made that mistake, wanting somebody, please prophesy, please tell me what God's will is. Oh my goodness. And see, that right there is a great example of how wrong messages can lead people astray. God wants us to discover His will for our lives through the relationship that we have with Him. It's as simple as that. From our personal relationship with Him. Not that we don't appreciate prophecy. That's not what I'm saying at all. But when we go looking for prophecies in order to make our life's decisions, and then if we have another life decision, we got to go find somebody else to speak another word over us. Boy, I tell you what, something's not right with that picture. I'd have to wonder what kind of relationship the person has with Jesus that they can't just ask him. They can't just follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost on the inside, just the desires that he has placed within them, why they can't follow that. So let's go back here. Looking at the life of Jesus, we see his dilemma, if you will, the Mount of Olives, the prayer that he prayed there, and the fact that it was his willingness to accept the Father's will and not to follow his own will that made him and his ministry the success in this world. It wasn't all of the miracles, because he wasn't looking at those miracles trying to build a successful ministry through those miracles. Well, how can you say that, Mark? Well, let's look at one example. In Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 1, we're going to begin reading in verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and saying, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, if you're willing, if you will to do this, you can make me clean. Verse 41. And Jesus, look at these words, moved with compassion. This was the motivating force. This is the reason that Jesus healed this person. It was based on love. There was no other motivation. He wasn't doing this to build the ministry of Jesus in the earth. I'm going to heal people so that I can collect a following of people. That wasn't the case at all, and I can show you that as we read through this verse. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately. How quickly? Immediately. Immediately. Healing is immediate. Immediately. Receive it. Hallelujah. The leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Now look at these next words. Now, keep in mind, if you're of the opinion that Jesus did these miracles because he was trying to, you know, bolster himself as in his ministry, as Son of God ministries, look at these words. Verse 43. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away. Verse 44, and saith unto him, see thou say what? Nothing. Say nothing to any man. Don't you know, Jesus, you cannot build a successful healing ministry by not telling anybody anything. You got to make big banners. You got to have your face plastered all over the place. Jesus, if we're going to be a success, oh my goodness, if we're going to be a success and collect a whole bunch of people and be a success, you have to tell people that Jesus apparently didn't think that way. Doesn't that just kick a hole in the side of some of what we see in Christendom today? Somebody has a healing anointing, the next thing you know, they've got big banners and all kind of stuff. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that if that is the will of God in your life. There's nothing wrong with it. But if you're trying to build a ministry and you're in that, you're doing it based on what you've seen somebody else do, that's not right. And it's not right if you do anything in this life, ministry or work or whatever it is, because you see somebody else do it and you think, hey, I want to do that too. God, would you bless me so I can go do that? There's all kind of wrong with that. Now see, Jesus healed the man because he loved the guy. It was based in love. That was why he did it. That's why he, if you look through the different times that he had compassion on the people when he multiplied the loaves and the fish. He wasn't doing this so that everyone would look and say, oh my goodness, would you look this Jesus? He is amazing. No, he did it because it said he had compassion on the people. We're going to have to look at that verse. Let's see if I can find it here. Let's look at maybe Matthew 15 might be it. Well, let's read verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have you? And they said, 7 and a few little fish. He commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks and broke them and gave to his disciples and the disciples to the multitudes, and they did all eat and were filled and took up the broken meat that was left 7 basketfuls, and they that did eat were 4,000 men beside women and children. And he sent away the multitude and took ship and came to the coast of Magdala. So let's go back, look at the words, verse 32. I have compassion on the multitude. He wasn't doing this as a little sideshow trick. Look, I'm going to multiply these fish and feed these people, and they're going to all be so amazed because I'm God. Wasn't that way at all. He multiplied the loaves and fish for one reason, and one reason only. He had compassion on the multitudes. He healed the sick because he was moved with compassion. He multiplied the loaves and the fish because why? He had compassion for the people. It was love. Love was the motivating force. Love was the motivation. You see, going back again to what I was saying about the people that, you know, they want to build a great ministry off the miracles. Their motivation for doing that is not the same motivation that we see right here. His motivation is love, compassion for the people. When he healed the leper, it was his compassion for the leper. And he told the leper, don't tell anybody. Look, you don't build a ministry not telling people. I mean, that's the way the world thinks. And unfortunately, that thinking has gone into the church. And the church agrees with that mentality that, hey, you got to do these things and that accounts you as success. And it doesn't. Success in the kingdom of God is not about the looking like what the world determines as success. It's about doing the will of the Father no matter what it is. And when, in Jesus' case, when the will of the Father was go hang on a cross, even when Jesus in himself was struggling with this decision that he had to make, he had to make it. The Father couldn't make it for him. He had to be willing to do the will of the Father. He had to be willing. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. Glory to God. So, what's your point, Mark? My point is this. When you are looking for success in this life, stop looking at what everyone else says is successful, even if it's in the church. And only look to your Father. And only do what he has asked you to do. And the motivation as you do what he says to do is based in love. Love for him and love for the people that he is sending you to. It's love. Not that you want to build anything. Not that you want to gain attention to yourself. That's not it. It's that you love people. That your heart is open to them. That you're ministering to them from that love that you have that's developed inside of you. From your love for the Father and his love for you, that you love one another. Glory to God. And from that, your ministry to each other. You minister to one another as the Father will is for your life, as his will is for your life. So the motivation is love. And why is it? Because that is what our pattern is. For success, Jesus, that's what he showed us. He showed us as he walked on this planet that love was the motivating force. He was moved with compassion. Let's look at another verse, Matthew chapter 9. Let's see if I've read that one already. Let me see. Matthew 9. verse 36. Again, this was, let me read it, 9:36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Let's go back a little bit and read up to that. Let's go back to 32, verse 32. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease. Boy, can you imagine that? You know, going through all these places, seeing all these sick people. Him healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He was moved with compassion. It was love. Love was the motivating force. Last summer, the Lord really began to teach me about love and the fact that it was His love for us first. Not that we loved Him, but that He first loved us. Oh my goodness. That became such a revelation inside of me. It wasn't that we loved Him, it was that He loved us first. His love for us. Oh, and if we can just grab a hold of how of that revelation, that it's not about my love for Him. It's the fact that He loved me first. And that's the basis for everything. Love is the basis for everything. It's what should be our motivation for why we minister to the people. Out of that love, as we obey the Father's will for our lives, as we share His love through us for other people, glory to God, we are sharing Jesus throughout this earth. And that's His desire for each and every one of us. No matter if you're called to the ministry, no matter if you're a business person, if you're a housewife, it don't matter what you do. What matters is, are you sharing the love of God? Is the love of God flowing through you and His will? Are you living out His will for your life? And don't worry if it doesn't look like your neighbor's life or like the other people in your peer group. Don't worry about that. And I'm telling you, at times, that can be one of the most challenging things because it doesn't look like your life doesn't look like everybody else. Everybody else seems to be going one way. It's like my friend said earlier, you know, that the scripture that talks about the wide gate, and many there be that go in through the wide gate. But then there's the straight and the narrow. And what does it say? It says, few there be that go through that gate. Few. And we read those words, and yet we still want to go with the flow where we see all the people going, and that the Bible is expressly clear that the vast majority, they're not going to go through the straight and narrow gate. They're going to go the wide path that leads to destruction. Many there be that go in that path. We want to go the straight and the narrow, and few there be that go that way. Why is it so few? Why? Because we fight for our own will. We don't follow our pattern. We don't do what our pattern showed us. Our pattern said, not my will, but thine be done. And He even taught us, as I said earlier, in the Lord's Prayer, He even taught us to pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, my will, no, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He taught us, pray this way. Pray. Pray that the Father's will be accomplished in your life. I pray that it is, and I pray that the motivating force in your life for what you're for why you're doing what you're doing is love. It comes from a place of love, compassion. That love in motion where you're reaching out. You are the hands of Jesus in this earth, reaching out in love, ministering to people who are hurting, dying, in need. They need the love that you have. They need that. Glory to God. Well, I hope that this message this evening has blessed you. It's one of those kind of messages that you may not necessarily hear very often, because people struggle in this area with following the will of the Father in their life and knowing what that is and laying down their life. They struggle with this. Here's what they want. They want to hear, Lord, just bless my life. Bless it the way it is. And don't make me change. This is the way I like it to be. Boy, I tell you what, I see that all the time. Here's my life. Here's the way it is. Just bless it the way it is, Lord. Man, that's not what our pattern showed us. He showed us, not my will, but thy will be done. Don't settle for the easy way out. Don't settle. Allow the Father to challenge you. Allow Him to challenge what your ideas. Challenge what you believe your life is to be about. Let Him challenge you. Follow Him like Abraham followed Him. Where are we going, Father? Well, Abraham, we're going to go to a place that I will show you. It's kind of like there's a big world out there, God. Where are we going? Okay, Abraham, I'll tell you when we get there. People don't like that. People want to know, give me the end from the beginning, and then I'll decide if I'm going to follow you, Lord. Then I'll let you know if my will lines up with your will. No, He wants us to follow Him, no matter where that may be, and for our will to line up with His will. And then the motivation for doing the things that He wants us to do when we get there will be love. Love. Love for the people. Love for the Father. Hallelujah. Well, that's all that the Lord's given me for this evening. And I believe that message right there, if you'll take it to heart, if you'll just look at the prayer that Jesus prayed, and you'll pray that for yourself. Father, not my will. Not the plans that I have established for my life. I lay them down. Not my will, but your will be done. Well, I tell you what, a person can have a lot of plans, you know. They're always telling you plan for retirement, and you know you got to plan for your future, and we're trained to plan You have your 5-year plan. I remember they taught us this in college. You got to have your 5-year plan. Where are you going to go in 5 years? And then you got to have your 10-year plan. Where do you want to be in 10 years? Oh, for crying out loud, you got to be kidding me. And I don't even know where I'm going to be in, 6 months or 6 days. All I'm doing is following Jesus. This is where he has me at for today. Tomorrow I'll follow him wherever he leads me. You see, and according to the world, that's crazy. You can't live that way. You can't live that way. Yes, you can. You most certainly can. Because first of all, you have to know that your Father loves you. And your Father takes care of you. If he cares for the birds of the air, if he cares for the grass of the field, isn't he going to take care of you? Oh, certainly he is. Certainly. And you got to plan for your future. Well, it's kind of difficult sometimes whenever you have no idea one day from the next where he wants you or what he wants out of you. It's really hard then. And does that mean that everybody that has planned for the future is wrong? No. What I'm saying is that it's only what the Father has for you and you following that. That's what's the most important. That's what's the most important for each one of us. And it won't look the same from one person to the next. And that's okay. And you have to be okay with that. Amen. I want to pray for you right now. And we're going to pray specifically in line with the prayer that Jesus prayed, specifically for each one of your lives. Heavenly Father, what a message this evening that you've given me to share. Father, as we look at the words of Jesus in preparation for going to the cross, Heavenly Father, may this prayer be the prayer of each person that watches this now and in the future. Heavenly Father, not my will, but thy will be done in my life. Not my will. Heavenly Father, I don't want to get to heaven and find out that I missed your will. And I know that no person that's watching this wants that. We want your will accomplished. We want not what our will is, but what your will is for us. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help each of us as we walk out your will to help us in the execution of it. To know that we're going the right direction, to know have the confirmation in our heart that this is the direction that you want for us. And I thank you for it, Father. And above all, as we're walking this out, the motivation in our heart for what we do as we're fulfilling your will, it's motivated by the purest motivation of all, love. Love. That it's not about us. It's about you and about ministering to your people. And we thank you for this, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.